Well, CPC Online, what an honor it is for me to be with you, and greetings from Atlanta, Georgia. I love your church. I love your pastor, Tyler Scott, an amazing leader, and your team there is doing a phenomenal job. And I know we have folks watching in the Valley, but beyond that. So on behalf of the team at CPC, we're thrilled that you're here. And before we dive into continuing our series on called Unstuck, I wanted to show you a picture of what I think about, or one of the pictures I think about when I think about you, when I think about CPC, and when I think about what you're doing for the Valley. This is what comes to mind, one of the images that comes to mind. This shows your heart for the community. This shows that your church wants to be known more for what we're for than what we are against. So on behalf of all of us at Gwinnett Church here in Atlanta, Georgia, we're cheering you on in these very challenging days, but we believe you're like a city on a hill. You're the light of the world in your community. And so way to go, and keep doing what you're doing, and keep being for the Valley. Now, as I mentioned, we're in this series called Unstuck, and I want to go ahead and tell you what our bottom line is for today, and we're going to unpack this bottom line. And the bottom line simply says this: don't let what we don't know rob us of what we can do. Don't let what we don't know, and you would agree with this, right? There's a lot that we don't know. There's a lot that a lot of people don't know. And in the sense of that, in a season where there's a lot that we don't know, we can get stuck. But the truth for you, and the great news for you, and the great news for me, is that there are some things that, even though there's a lot that we don't know, there are some things that we can do. In our brief minutes together, I'm going to give you three things that I think will allow you to take maybe just a step forward tomorrow, maybe a few steps forward this week. But as you do, it will allow you and me to stop being, or get out of being, stuck, and so that we can become unstuck and move toward the vision that God has for our lives. And the truth for us today is that the reason this is an opportunity for you, and the reason this is an opportunity for me, is because God has a very compelling vision for your future. And when you understand and can lock in on that compelling vision for your future, then it will give you peace, strength, and a purpose to keep moving forward. So don't let what you don't know rob you of what you can do. Now, back in March, when the pandemic really hit, a friend of mine called me. This is a longtime friend of mine, and he serves a multi-billion-dollar business in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Just a fantastic leader. And we were talking about this, and he reminded me of something. He said, "Jeff, what we know about history is that in a storm like this, storms eventually pass. And when they do, we're going to look back." And he gave me these two words to lean into that really connects to where we're going today. He gave me the words, "remember when." He said, at some point, we're going to look back on 2020 and say, "remember when this happened, and remember when that happened." And as we say that, we're going to have the second half of that sentence: "and whatever we say then is what we are writing now." And so he and I kind of came up with this phrase, "remember when, living now for then." That what we're doing now, we are writing a story for the future. And so when we get stuck, when we are paralyzed by fear and uncertainty, we don't write as a compelling story as we possibly can. But when we stay locked in on the vision that God has for our future, then there are some things that we can do. So when this was happening back in March, I was just going through my personal devotion in the book of John. If you're new to CPC Online, new to Bible study, the Bible is broken up into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the first four books of the New Testament give an account of the life of Jesus. And that fourth book, the book of John, I was just reading through that. And I was reading through chapter 12. In the first three verses of chapter 12, I pretty much have stayed there ever since. Because as I read these three powerful verses, it reminded me of the vision that God has for my life. And it showed me three things that I can do in this season. And so this chapter, John chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, I want to walk us through that today. And all of this ties to our bottom line, which is don't let what you don't know rob you of what you can do. Now, to understand John chapter 12, you got to understand John chapter 11. John chapter 11, there was this foundational event in the life and the ministry of Jesus that kind of took his ministry to a completely different level, in the sense that people began to see, oh, I think this guy is different from anyone anyone else. John chapter 11, basically there's the story. Jesus is in another part of a region, and he's sent word from two friends, two sisters, Mary and Martha, that their brother Lazarus is sick. And Jesus is friends with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And in essence, the word is, Jesus, if you don't get here fast, Lazarus could die. But what was so confusing ultimately to Mary and Martha is Jesus didn't come running to the rescue. Jesus stayed there. And eventually Lazarus died. But eventually Jesus shows up. But Mary and Martha confront him because from their perspective, he showed up late. He wasn't on time. Now, has that ever happened to you when it relates to your relationship with God? Has God ever seemed like he's pretty slow? Has God ever seemed like he's not around? Has God showed up late to the circumstances of your life? So Jesus walks up to the scene and he has some conversations with Mary and Martha. They're understandably not too pleased with Jesus. But then he goes up to Lazarus' tomb. He asks the stone to be rolled away. He prays this amazing prayer and says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes out, a dead man back to life. Everyone loses their minds in a really good way. And Jesus, people look at Jesus and go, there's something different about this guy. So that's John chapter 11. John chapter 12 is the epilogue of the story. So I want to walk you through these three verses. Lazarus is at a party. He's at the party, not dead. He's back to life. And because of that, this is what John records. John chapter 12, it says, here a dinner party was given in Jesus' honor. Now, this isn't just they go out to dinner, right? This is they give a dinner in honor of Jesus. And maybe you've been to a retirement banquet. Maybe you've been to maybe an awards banquet and there are speeches and they honor the person or several people that this dinner is in honor of. Well, that's what's happening here. And they're giving this dinner in honor of Jesus. And don't miss this. Most of the people, if not all of the people, they had actually attended the funeral of Lazarus. They're at this party and there's Lazarus, and we're about to see what Lazarus is doing at the party. And there's just got to be this wonder. There has to be this shock and awe in a really good way. They have to look at Lazarus and say, I went to this guy's funeral, and yet because of this man named Jesus, he brought him back to life. Imagine the energy. Imagine the wonder. Imagine the marvel at this party. And so they give a dinner in honor of Jesus. I bet people stood up. I bet Mary stood up. Maybe Martha stood up. Maybe Lazarus stood up and said, hey, thanks for bringing me back from the dead. That's the energy in this party in John chapter 12. So John chapter 12, verse 2, then we begin to see what happens in this season. What's going on? And so Martha served. So John chapter 12, verse 2, what's happening here, what I'm going to show you is that Martha was serving in this moment. Now, what I want to do is I want you to see what Martha's perspective on this is. What we know about Martha is that she was a server at heart. She was a servant at heart. So serving at a dinner party probably wasn't unusual for her. But I have a feeling that Martha is serving at a completely different level now. Because before this event, she might not have seen Jesus for who he truly was. Now she sees that even death obeys to Jesus, and she's serving at a different level. Now, to understand this different perspective, let me take you back to John chapter 11. Remember John chapter 11, Jesus doesn't show up on time. And so Martha goes out and confronts Jesus when he shows up late. This is what happens in John chapter 11. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. In fact, Mary's so mad right now, she's not even going out to meet Jesus. And I understand this, right? Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So this is Martha pre-understanding truly who Jesus is. And now that she has seen the power of Jesus, I think in John chapter 11, she's serving at a completely different level. And here's what I mean by that. I think now in John chapter 12, Martha is no longer serving out of duty. Martha is now serving out of hope. That she begins to see and understand, oh my goodness, I think I've got a bigger picture of who you are, Jesus. And don't miss this. Challenging days are really, really difficult. But when we go through challenging days with Jesus, we experience Jesus at a different level than we ever have before. And that's what's happening for so many of you right now, that you are experiencing Jesus in a more profound way in challenging days than maybe you ever did in easier days. But as a result of that, you and I, in terms of becoming unstuck, one of the things that we can do is we can be distributors of hope to our community. That, yeah, we could do this. We could get concerned and fearful and uncertain about the future, and I understand all of that, and we can spiral out of control to a season that just paralyzes us with fear and worry and uncertainty. Or we can decide to write a greater story and be distributors of hope. And I want to give you a picture of that. This is what you're doing, CPC, with For the Valley. This is who you are. In fact, let me show you a picture. This is what distributors of hope looks like. That when you did your drive-throughs and when you do all the things that you're doing, you are being distributors of hope. And let me remind you, when you become distributors of hope, the more personable, the more remarkable. The more personable that your church can be in this season, the more remarkable it will be. So you know what Martha did? I think she served at a completely different level. She served out of purpose and hope, not out of duty. And when we do that as communities of faith, we become, like Jesus said, a city on a hill, like the light of the world. So Martha served, and so can you, and so can me. And when we serve others, it does something not just for them, it does something for us. And it gets us unstuck. That's what Martha did. Let me show you what Lazarus did. And it's a little bit confusing and perplexing to me, at least at first glance. This is what Lazarus did. So Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with Jesus. So Martha served and Lazarus reclined. And here's why this is a little bit perplexing to me, and maybe this is my personality, but I see Lazarus and I'm thinking, okay, Lazarus, unlike any of the rest of us, you got a second chance at life. And I'm thinking when you have a second chance at life, when you come out of that tomb, you're going to have some goals. You're going to make a vision statement. You're going to get to work and get to action because you have a second opportunity to do something really significant. And yet the picture of Lazarus is that he's reclining and taking it easy. And that kind of challenges me, bothers me a little bit. Like, Lazarus, shouldn't you be doing something more than just reclining? And I know, to be fair to Lazarus, we're just taking a snapshot here of a particular situation, but I kind of feel like he should have come out of that tomb with an action plan. But I think what Lazarus would share with us is something that he's experienced that we never have, is that dying has a way of giving us a new perspective on living. That dying has a way of giving us a new perspective on living. That be with me. In fact, the final chapter of the book of John, Jesus, this is an amazing story, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. But Jesus, there's this fishing story, it's amazing. I'll let you read it in John 21 at another time. But Jesus invites his disciples to simply do this: come and have breakfast. Will you come and have breakfast with me? Will you come spend time with me? So here's Lazarus. He's just come out of the tomb. He's got this amazing opportunity at a second chance at life, and yet he's reclining at the table. So I think we would ask this question: hey, Lazarus, we need some clarity. What should we be doing right now in this season to get unstuck? And it looks like you're just kind of hanging out with Jesus. And I think, based on what we can see here, I think this is what Lazarus would say. He would say, recline and rest with Jesus. You're going to need strength for the journey ahead. So CPC Online, let me ask you a question. As you're thinking about this season, and there's a lot of things that can you know, force us or lead us to being stuck in our lives, fear, anxiety, anger, depression, all these negative emotions. Let me ask you this question. Where are you taking your fear? Where are you taking your anxiety? Where are you taking your anger? Not that you shouldn't have any of this. I mean, good grief. All of us are there to some certain extent, right? But where are you taking it? And I think what Lazarus is saying, hey, look, the best thing that you can do is to rest and recline with Jesus. Spend some time with Jesus. Because when you spend some time with Jesus, something powerful happens. It's a promise that he's provided for us. He said, I will give you my peace. And when you practice the presence of Jesus, you receive the promise of the peace from Jesus. And this is really important, not just for you. It's important for CPC. It's important for the church I'm at here at Gwinnett Church. And the reason for that is the reason many churches struggle isn't because of unhealthy strategies. The reason many churches struggle is because of unhealthy people. That the world around us looks at us, and I'm not sure many times they see any difference between us and those that don't follow Jesus. And one of the biggest differences that you and I can begin to implement and continue to implement, and this is who you are, is to spend time with Jesus. Because when we spend time with Jesus, people begin to sense his presence in our lives. So Martha served as a distributor of hope, and Lazarus made sure that he practiced the presence of Jesus. And if you'll serve out of hope, and if you'll practice the presence with Jesus, those two things in and of themselves will allow you to take a huge step forward toward becoming unstuck. So that's the two things, one thing that Martha did, one thing that Lazarus did. But to give you the third one, I want us to look at Mary to wrap up these three verses. Mary did this. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So Mary had this really expensive perfume, and she took it. And she poured out her very best on the feet of Jesus. Now, I wonder as she did this, if as she's pouring out this this very expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus, if she remembered the last time that she was at the feet of Jesus. Because the last time that she was at the feet of Jesus, just to be honest with you, no criticism of Mary here, but she had a different attitude. In fact, let me show you John chapter 11. The last time that she was at the feet of Jesus, she wasn't pouring out an expensive perfume. John chapter 11, verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, the reality for you and the reality for me is John chapter 11, verse 32. This is where we are, right? These are the challenges, right? These are the difficulties. These are the Lord, where are you moments. These are the Lord, you're late, where are you moments. And in many respects, in 2020, John chapter 11, verse 32, that's where we are. Not downplaying it, not denying it. But here's what I want you to see today, that the challenges of our lives are chapters. Not downplaying that, not denying that, not saying that these are difficult chapters, not saying that these are difficult seasons, but what we have to understand and what Mary is displaying before us is this, is that the challenges of our lives are chapters. The faithfulness of Jesus is the story. The challenges of our lives are chapters. The faithfulness of Jesus is the story. John chapter 11 will eventually give way to John chapter 12. That John chapter 11 will eventually, and you're in many respects, we're in John chapter 11 in this year, right? But eventually it will give way to a greater and grander story. And when Mary saw that in John chapter 12, she poured out her best. But here's what I'm challenging you to do. It's one thing to pour out your best when you see everything. You see the grander, bigger story. It's easier to pour out your best in John chapter 12. It's a far different thing. And it's a far greater display of faith when you pour out your best in John chapter 11, in the John chapter 11 chapters of our lives that we find ourselves in today. So CPC, let me ask you a question. What does pouring out my best look like today? This is a great question for you to ask. And the reason it's a great question is because it allows you to get unstuck It allows you to stop being paralyzed. It allows me to stop being paralyzed by fear and uncertainty and how long is this going to go on and what if this happens, what if that happens. Hey, what about today? What if I just poured out my best at work? What if I poured out my best in my marriage? What if I poured out my best in my relationships? What if I poured out my best financially? What if I poured out my best in my relationship with the Lord? What if I poured out my best today? And then when you did that today, what if you asked this question? What does pouring out my best look like tomorrow? And here's what I want you to know as it relates to getting unstuck. Please know this. Please know that these days will count. How you and I respond to these days, they will count. And that's not to put a burden on you. That's not to put pressure on you. It's an opportunity, though, for you and I to realize that as challenging as these days are, they are chapters to our story. And ultimately, if we'll do this, these three strategies, if we will serve like Martha did, because Martha served, if we'll recline with Jesus and spend time with him as Lazarus is practicing the presence of being in the presence of Jesus and experiencing the peace of Jesus, and then if we will pour out our best, these three strategies will allow you and me to get unstuck and take a step to the future that God has for you and for me. Now, to do that, I want to remind you of something that happened in John chapter 11. Word gets to Jesus from Mary and Martha, hey, our brother is sick. And Jesus has this big overarching statement. They kind of give a teaser, if you will, of why he's not going to immediately run to the story. He's going to give it some time. He said this. He said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And then in John chapter 12, that's exactly what happened. Here, a dinner party was given in Jesus' honor. Now, here's why I want you to see these two verses put together as we come in for a close. Remember, as we began, I told you that God has a compelling vision for your future. And I think John chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, this dinner party that's in honor of Jesus, and there are all these people, and there's such a great, wonderful time, and there's this energy, and there's this hope, and there's this enthusiasm. There's this wonder and marvel. I think those three verses are a snapshot. I think they are symbolic for where you are headed as a believer in Jesus. What the scriptures teach is that there is our future. If you're a believer in Jesus, the future in eternity is there's going to be a massive feast. There's going to be a massive dinner party, if you will. It's going to be in honor of Jesus. And yet, that compelling picture of eternal vision that God has for you, that compelling understanding that ultimately that's where you and I are headed, to a feast, to a massive party in honor of Jesus. Don't miss this. I think in those days, which are going to be amazing, as we begin, don't forget this, as we begin to have conversations with Jesus, I have a feeling that Jesus in his conversation with you in eternity might say this. He might say, Remember when that year 2020 rolled around? Oh, that was a challenging year. But as Jesus has a conversation with you in the future, what if he said this? Remember when you served me, you were a distributor of hope? Remember when you reclined with me and spent time with me? And remember when you poured out your best for me? Remember this? Remember that? And then I think he's going to say, well done. CPC, I know these are challenging days. By the way, I have my own challenges. Did you know this for pastors like Tyler and me, that we're not immune to challenges? Did you know that we're not immune to anxiety? Did you know we're not immune to any of those things that, you know, all of us? Pastors don't get some kind of, you know, disclaimer from all that. We are normal, broken people. And yet, for all of us, this week, don't miss this, this week is an extraordinary opportunity for you to write a story that will show up at the dinner party in eternity. That's what this week is. That's the potential of this week. So when we get stuck and paralyzed with fear and uncertainty and all the negative emotions, which I totally understand, it robs us from writing a story that could ultimately show up at the future dinner party with Jesus. But when we do this, when we serve, when we are distributors of hope, when we tell people we are for the valley because God is for the valley, when we spend time with Jesus, not out of obligation, but out of wonder, and allow the peace of Jesus to begin to flow, not just to us, but through us. And then, even in challenging days, when we pour out our best for Jesus and our relationships and our circumstances in life, I'm telling you, that is going to show up at the dinner party with Jesus. And when you understand that, it leads us to this. Hey, CPC, don't let what we don't know rob us of what we can do. Don't stay stuck, or don't get stuck, because there are some things that you can do. In fact, to close today, I want to give you another picture of what that looks like as it relates to what you are doing in your community. Do you want to see a picture of distributors of hope? Do you want to see a picture of people that spend time with Jesus and allow the peace of Jesus to flow not just to them, but through them? You want to see a picture of people that are trying to pour out their best for the kingdom, for the community? And you want to see a picture that I believe will ultimately show up at the dinner party of Jesus? It looks a little something like this. We are for you. And we're not going to get stuck in the uncertainty and the fear. Yeah, we're not going to deny it, but we're not going to get stuck there, because we're going to let the compelling vision that God has for our future to allow us to get unstuck. And we're going to be distributors of hope. And we're going to recline with Jesus and allow the time that we spend with him to flow to our community. And we're going to pour out our best. That's who you are. That's what you have done. And that's what being for the valley is all about. It's not a slogan. It's an invitation. An invitation for the rest of your community and beyond to experience the love and the grace and the peace and the person of Jesus. And as you do, you get unstuck, or you avoid being stuck. And then, imagine this. Someday, somehow, what you have done, what you'll do this week, and what you will do beyond will show up at the dinner party. So CPC, don't let this week, don't let what you don't know rob you of what you can do. Be distributors of hope. Spend time with Jesus and pour out your best. And that will lead you home. Father, we're so grateful for this amazing church. Thank you for Tyler and the team. Pray for continued resources that they're going to need to serve this community. Pray for the people of California as they are facing the wildfires, as they're facing the pandemic, like all of us are, just many challenging situations. But yet in the middle of all of these difficult days, we believe that these are chapters, and that your faithfulness will ultimately be the story. So help us this week. Help this amazing community of people to continue to write a great story that will one day show up in a conversation with you at the dinner party forever. We're so grateful for CPC, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.